Desert Healthcare District and Foundation presents a podcast that supports your health and wellness where you live. This is Healthy Desert, Healthy You, hosted by Will Dean. Now, here's Will.
Hello, friends. Today, I am joined by a special guest, an environmental scientist who lives in Palm Desert. Her name is Samantha Shapiro. Welcome, Samantha.
Thank you, Will. I'm happy to be here.
So glad that you're here. Now, I know that you attended the second annual Healthy Desert, Healthy You Environmental Health Summit in September 2025. What were your impressions of the summit? Had you been the first year or not?
Yes, I went to the first annual summit, and okay. I really enjoyed the second one, too.
Okay.
It was a fantastic experience, and it was really nice to meet people that I'd met in the previous summit and build those connections and sustain those connections, too.
Excellent. We love to hear that. Do you have any takeaways from the second summit?
First of all, I did want to reiterate that I really enjoyed the summit, and I also enjoyed the tour a lot. Both experiences were really fun. I think that my main takeaways from the second summit was primarily about different ways that governance can support community and also utility and like companies and private sector for environmental health, and seeing like how all of those connections can be interplayed, like how we can all support each other and lift each other up.
That's really important, because I think a lot of times when it comes to environmental health issues, residents may feel as though they don't have that support from the government side of things. So it's really good to hear you say that.
Yeah, it can feel like very distant at times. And sometimes it can seem like local politics like might not be looking into these like environmental health issues or environmental health problems at first. But when you start to dive deep into like how cities plan for things, or how governments have agencies for specific like environmental health problems like air pollution, that sort of thing, and how like Desert Healthcare District focuses on like air pollution, it's really informative to see what kind of programs are actually being funded. And right, that's like the most important part.
It is. I also want to share with our listeners another fun, important fact. And we had meaning the organizers of the summit, had a post-summit survey that we sent out to attendees. And we randomly selected a winner of a $250 gift card. And that winner happened to be you. Congratulations.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you for hosting the giveaway too.
Yeah. Thank you for attending and for participating in the survey. So I wanted to focus our conversation on water. We've talked about air quality issues quite a bit on the podcast, so it's really refreshing to talk about water. And I want to share something really quickly. I have a former colleague. Back when I was in Missouri, she visited out here. Her mom lives out here. And we got together, as we always do, and we were talking about retirement, even though we're both pretty far from retirement. And she basically said, I'm just trying to figure out where there's going to be water. That was her big issue in terms of deciding on a location or a city to retire in. So that's a hugely important issue. So I'm wondering, should Californians be more concerned about the supply of water or the quality of water or both?
I would definitely say both, hands down, to start out the answer to the question. If you have water supply, but all of it is contaminated, for instance, say with arsenic, with metals or something like that, you can't drink it safely. So there's no point in having an abundance of water without being able to have the means to treat it and focus on solutions to help make it clean.
Right.
But the other side of the coin is if you don't have any, then the water quality that you have of that water is eventually going to get worse over time.
Absolutely. So I recall that here in the Coachella Valley a few years ago, one of the big issues in the Eastern Valley was arsenic in water, in the water supply, I think in some mobile home communities. Is that still an issue here? And what are some of the other issues that we face in the Coachella Valley?
I'm nodding my head like listeners can see it, but yes, it's definitely still an issue. Arsenic is still an issue in the Eastern Coachella Valley. And I believe that local water agencies are focusing on that as a priority for infrastructure, and so is the state. For funding, that tends to be like a big priority is serving disadvantaged communities and making sure that they have access to water infrastructure, all that sort of thing. So I think those are big priorities that are still being focused on. And I'm so sorry, could you also go over the question again?
The second part of that?
Yes.
What are some of the other challenges, water challenges in Coachella Valley?
Water supply is definitely like more of a concern for the Coachella Valley, of course, but we do have the underground aquifer, of course. That isn't as much of a concern necessarily for water quality. The way that we recharge the groundwater supply is definitely of concern, but it isn't like necessarily a problem per se. There are definitely like solutions that not only like we have through our water agencies, but also nationwide, we can draw upon like other examples and evidence that we can apply to here for making it even better if we need to.
What should residents do when they detect or suspect there's an issue with their water? Is it to reach out to the local water agencies? Is that the first step?
That would definitely be the first step. Okay. That is the most helpful step as far as like they can connect you to resources based on what you can do next, whether that involves like testing your water to see if there's any issues, seeing if there's like any, there has been any historical issues like in your area, seeing if there needs to be any like infrastructure improvements like down the road, that sort of thing. The water utility might be the best place to start. And then additionally, if anything needs to be like talked about, say it's a more like rural area or something like that, it might be helpful also to talk to the State Division of Drinking Water as well.
Okay, excellent. One of the things that I read about you is that you have a strong connection to the tribes in terms of water quality issues. And tell me a little bit about that.
I'm not entirely sure about how much detail I can go into, so I'm not sure how much
okay
should be published about it. But I guess to answer that question, I think tribes play a really large role in the water issues in the Coachella Valley since they've been here for time immemorial.
Right.
And they have a long history with using the water and also managing the water. They were some of the first people to build the wells and manage the water and use like their springs, that sort of thing. But they're definitely the primary points of contact for that, I would say. I would defer to the tribes for their own experiences on water and
okay.
their recommendations for.
Let me ask you this. So have the tribes always been involved as far as the governance part of water quality issues? And is there room for improvement there, I guess I'm asking?
I think there's always room to have tribes involved in governance when it comes to like state issues. I think everyone needs a seat at the table.
Absolutely. And I asked this question because I recently read, I think it was the LA Times, where the Owens Valley community, especially the tribes there, had reached out to the city saying, you've been really overpumping groundwater and talking about the effects on biodiversity there. So are you familiar with that issue?
I am, yeah. And I'm familiar with Owens Lake too in general. The issue with now the dry like late bed and the environmental health issues, there's a lot of parallels to the Salton Sea, which is also a significant environmental health issue like around the Coachella Valley area.
Absolutely. I think that's probably the primary issue that people think about when they talk about water quality in the valley. So there's not in our community, I guess we can't get into specifics, but I wanted to talk about efforts that we can make in the community to improve water quality. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to go into a few different directions if that's helpful.
Absolutely.
I think one way that community members can get involved in like improving their water quality first is like by finding out more about their water quality. I found that like a lot of community members, like just when reaching out, like for instance, like at the Healthy Desert, Healthy You Summit, like sometimes people don't know exactly where their water comes from, that we do get it from the underground aquifer. Sometimes people don't know that we also get some of it from Colorado River water too, to recharge said aquifer too. So it was really informative, for instance, to attend the tours and learn more about that process.
Everyone should attend the summit.
They definitely should. I agree.
So what are some other resources that you would recommend for people to learn about the water issues in our valley and our state?
As far as in our state, I would definitely recommend a resource called Maven's Notebook.
Okay.
It's a website that has information about all sorts of like water issues, that type of thing. I think local news can also be really helpful sometimes for water issues. For instance, I found out recently through my work that there was recently a settlement with Agua Caliente and they have water rights now
to
the groundwater in the area. So that's like super relevant, and it's not always covered by like mainstream outlets sometimes because it's not always like the first thing on like their minds, of course. So water rights is definitely of importance. So just trying to find out more by searching up like water issues, like Salton Sea, that sort of thing can really help keep a community member informed and learn more.
Let's talk a little bit more about the Salton Sea because there is a lot of discussion around it. And from your perspective as an environmental scientist, do you feel optimistic about the direction and what you've heard about conversations taking place?
I'm not entirely sure about how much I can speak about this. Okay. I just wanted to mention that. But
okay.
I think speaking as like a community member, I'm optimistic for the conservation efforts that are in place. The state has the Solemn Sea Management Program, and that involves the building of like vegetation enhancement projects, the species conservation habitat, which has recently been filled, and there's actually birds starting to nest in the species conservation habitat, and they're actually trying to, I think, double or increase the acreage of the species conservation habitat too, which is like a more brackish, large ponds, I would say, but a little more than ponds, but it's very beautiful to drive out there and see, oh my gosh, there's actually birds that are coming in and fish can actually swim in there, and it's fantastic to see.
Those are really positive developments.
There are, yeah. It just takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of agencies, people, partners, community members, and community voices like working together for this. So it's, I guess we're like in the steps of building change for it. So hopefully like we can continue to sustain it.
Sounds like you are very optimistic. What would you like people to know? What do you want to leave them with in terms of water issues in the Coachella Valley?
I would say, as far as water issues in the Coachella Valley go, we are relatively like lucky to have the resources that we have and the partnerships that we have, the organizations that care about the environment, environmental justice, and all those issues are important. And they're also extremely tied to public health. And not only that, but I think public health is indicative of environmental health. Environmental health is the same likewise. And not only that, but I think it's important for residents to also recognize, which they probably already know, that your zip code does dictate your health outcomes too.
Right.
Environmental health is inherently tied to your health and your outcomes. So absolutely. I think that might be something that I would leave people with. But as far as water quality is concerned, there's always reason to be optimistic, and there's always community organizations that you can get involved with.
Excellent. And so once again, the resource that you mentioned is Maven's Notebook?
Yes. Maven's Notebook is spelled M-A-V-E-N-S and then Notebook, N-O-T-E-B-O-O-K.
Okay. And that's online?
Yes.
Samantha, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Healthy Desert, Healthy You. This podcast is a production of the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation in Palm Springs, California. For more information, please visit the website dhcd.org. Our annual conference site is healthydeserthealthyyou.com. This podcast is available at most major podcast portals, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Captivate.fm, Spotify, and YouTube Music. Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe.